Isaiah chapter 9, we read these words. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea beyond Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at harvest. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That was the news the shepherds heard. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you. In the Sunday school, I've been looking through the Christmas promise, and I suppose that's been the theme last week here, and this week, and maybe on into the next couple of services as well. God promised that he would come. He promised he would come to save the world, to rescue the world. Last week there was the look at the angel appearing to Mary, and the message the angel told Mary, that her son would be a king and would inhabit his father David's throne, ancestor David's throne, and he would reign forever, not just temporary, but eternally. That's quite different, isn't it, from us, from politicians in the world today who might try to cling on to power, but they can fail and ultimately will fail. But Jesus will reign forever because, yes, he was born there in Bethlehem, just as the angel had said. But who knew about it? Well, Mary knew, Joseph knew, Zachariah and Elizabeth seemed to know something, and maybe people that they had told, but for other people, they may have just been minding their own business. They may have been waiting for the promised Messiah to come, and you know what they say about a watched pot, it never boils, does it? Just this morning, before we came out, I thought, I'd love a cup of coffee. Well, our coffee machine seems to have broken. I was waiting for it to come on, and the red light stayed on, which means it's not working. I was like, oh, we'll just have to go. So that was good news for coffee later. But we can wait for something, and it might seem like it's never going to happen, never going to come. And then in the fullness of time, just at the right time, Jesus entered into this world. But for shepherds, they were minding their own business, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were working, protecting them from wild animals, or from theft, or from dispersing and getting lost, and other difficulties that they could get into, when all of a sudden an angel appeared to them. We read it from Luke chapter 2, and said, "Do not be afraid." Isaiah 35 that we opened with said about the vengeance, that God would come. That must have brought fear to them, about his coming and ruling and reigning in holiness and in righteousness, because they had a problem. And it's a problem that is a problem for the whole world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. which makes sense. When the shepherds saw the angel, they were afraid. They were terrified. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. This glory of God is something else. You can read about glimpses of it in the Old Testament. You can read about Moses going to the tent of meeting and of the Lord descending and speaking to him face to face. And as he left the tent of meeting with God, his face shone, but he didn't know it was shining. He'd met with the Lord, but didn't he later pray that he would see God's glory? But no one could look on the glory of God and live, because he is so pure and perfect in holiness and in righteousness. And yet the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds. The light in the darkness. People fumbling along in darkness. Maybe wondering where they've come from, where they're going, why they're here. Maybe people wondering in despair of, is there any hope? Is there any future? Maybe people being discouraged. Maybe people being depressed. Maybe people being down and feeling guilty for all the sin they've done. Wondering if there's anybody there, if anybody does care, if anyone would come and rescue them and save them and give them a hope to live not just with themselves, but with other people, and live for the future and live forever. And these answers, all these questions are answered by the babe that is lying in the manger in Bethlehem. But the news reached the shepherds that he had arrived. He had entered into his world. The Christmas carol, O Holy Night, has the phrase, doesn't it? A thrill of hope. God's promises fulfilled. And yes, the shepherds were the first to hear. Ordinary people. People living outside. For many of them, they would not have been allowed to take part in many things ceremonial in their day. Their testimony wasn't considered to be truthful. They were often seen as outcasts in their community. And yet to God, they were the ones that he came to rescue. Those who seemed furthest from him are the ones that his love seems to show the greatest. None of us deserve his love. But he loves us just the same. And so it wasn't to the palace in Jerusalem. It wasn't to Caesar's empire in Rome. It wasn't even to the high priest's house. It was to shepherds that this news came. And to us too. Once the angels had gone, do you think they just thought, oh, well, we've seen something amazing, let's look after the sheep? No, suddenly maybe the sheep seemed less important. Now, the promise of God from eternity past had entered into their world. So they went to see. They'd seen the angels, they'd heard the message, and so they went. They went to Bethlehem to see what had been told them. And what did they find? The phrase was just as the angel had said. Surprise, surprise, the angel's words are true. Surprise, surprise, God's words are true. We should not be surprised, should we? Because God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. What he says, his word is truth, and it can be found to be true because he is true. He has the ability not just to promise, but to make good on that promise, even if it might be delayed in coming. And so they saw, found Mary and Joseph and the baby. What was the baby wrapped in? Strips of cloth. And lying where? In a nice fancy crib? A nice cot? No, in a manger. Often depicted as wooden in pictures, probably most likely to be stone or something different like that. Not normally used for holding babies, but it was for the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lord of Lords, who came humbly, who came as a baby into his world. He left the glory of God, the glory of eternity, of heaven, to come into a sinful, dark world because of his love for you and for me and for the shepherds. And as the angel said, for all people. Well, after the shepherds had seen, what did they do? Go back to their sheep? Well, maybe they did. But they went and told people all that they had seen and heard. God's word is true. His promises are fulfilled. They have seen the Messiah. They have seen the Saviour for themselves. They worshipped him. And they honoured him. And they told other people. And for us who know the love of God, that he's loved us and saved us, we can tell other people that he is true, that he is real. For the shepherds, they heard, they believed, they went, they saw, and they told other people. For us, we can hear, we can believe, and by faith, we can approach the Saviour of the world. We can't go to the manger in Bethlehem because he's no longer in that manger. He grew up and lived a perfect life, doing those promises that he'd said he would do. The blind seeing, the lame walking, leaping for joy, to show that this is God with us, the Saviour of the world. But then he hung on that cross, taking the punishment for our sin, that we can be forgiven. The sheep. Yes, we read about sheep in the Christmas story. We don't really read about other animals, I don't think. But the shepherds looking after their sheep. But a verse in Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Two pictures for the sheep. We're like sheep. We've gone astray. We have sinned. We've wandered away from God. But God in his love and mercy came to seek and to save what was lost. But God in his humility, you can't imagine a ruler or leader of the world leaving their throne or their palace or their place of power, wherever it might be, to, as it were, wash people's feet. But Jesus entered into his world and became a person like you and me. For the shepherds, they couldn't be a sheep. But for God, he took on to be a person, to be like you and me. Sheep also were the sacrifice for sin. Probably only being about 10, 11 kilometres from Bethlehem, from the temple in Jerusalem, and just outside Bethlehem there, these sheep were likely bred for the sacrificial system in the temple to cover their sins. But now the Lamb of God has been born, the Saviour of the world, to die once for all our sins, past, present, future, that we can be forgiven. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We can think about the shepherds looking after their sheep, protecting them, providing for them. But we can think about the Lord Jesus, who is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Don't know about you, but if I was looking after sheep, and it became a choice of whether the sheep died or you died, I'm afraid the sheep probably wouldn't stand much of a chance. But for Jesus, he gave his life willingly for the sheep, for you and for me, that we can be forgiven. I grew up in Cumbria, the Lake District in northwest of England, where it's known for hills and lakes and, yeah, sheep. And quite often the mountain rescue teams out there are called for what? For sheep. Not always for people, but for sheep, yes. And they've got stuck on a crag somewhere, and they go to rescue them. I remember speaking to one man who was in the mountain rescue, and he described abseiling over the edge of a cliff to a little lamb that was stuck on a ledge, and grabbing the little lamb, putting it inside his jacket, zipping his jacket up, and abseiling down to the bottom. Rescued the sheep. Would you do that? Maybe some of us would. But for Jesus, his love for us is such that he would not just risk his life, but give his life for many. Today in the city of David, the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord, who is the Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep. He is the Saviour. Earlier in that passage in Luke chapter 2, we read about Caesar Augustus. Augustus means great one or worthy of reverence, a name that was given to him. The Caesar, or the ruler before him, was Julius Caesar, who had actually, the Roman Senate had appointed him as the divine Julius. In other words, he was God and should be reverenced as God. And so there Caesar Augustus is, worshipped as God, but he was also called the Son of God because he was adopted by Julius Caesar. He was the one who introduced the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. He thought was spreading his empire and his kingdom, as it were. But actually, it was this Roman peace that enabled the good news of the message of the gospel to be spread throughout many, many parts. And while Caesar Augustus might think he's the one, a son of God, and he was actually also known as the saviour of the world because he brought that Roman peace, then actually, here the angels are announcing it's not so much the political power or of people, but far above all is God Almighty, who is eternal, who rules and who reigns, and who's entered into his world as the Son of the Almighty God. The Son of God, who demonstrates by his words and by his life and by his power who he is and who he came to be to you and to me, to be the Saviour of the world. Not just in one place, but for all people. Yes, he is the one who rescues us from our sin, who rescues us from our darkness, and it came to be the love of God with us. These shepherds that day started off in the darkness, lost in their sin, looking after their sheep, but they ended up as those who were, I believe, to be saved. They believed the word of God. They had seen the Saviour and shared and spread this good news to many. Their lives had been changed by an encounter with that babe in the manger. Because that babe isn't just a babe. He is God eternal, the Saviour of the world, the one who actually rules, the one who's in control, the one who orchestrated even all the might of Rome, that there was a census at this time, that brought a lady and Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill the promise that the Saviour would come and be born right there. God keeps his promises. He is the Saviour. But I wonder, is he your Saviour? The shepherds heard, and then they went. We've heard the message of Christmas. We could tell the message of Christmas. But is it just about history? Or have we actually come by faith to the living Lord Jesus, who is the Saviour, and made real who he is? As we come with our sin just as we are, he can take it. And he was punished on the cross, that we can be forgiven, that we can have eternal life. We don't need to walk in darkness, because God has spoken. Because God is real, because God entered his world, and because God lives and reigns forever. So let's come to him. Let's worship him as the rescuing King, the one who saves us from our sin and calls us to follow him.